Help for homeowners may be just days away.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. Struggling homeowners could see some relief as soon as next week, so says a leading author of that rescue bill that passed the House yesterday. Congressman Barney Frank says lenders have known the details of the plan for weeks and ought to be able to move fast once President Bush signs the measure into law. Treasury Secretary Paulson says he'll push for enactment by this weekend. Oil prices are now the lowest they've been in almost 2 months, down to $123 a barrel this morning. That may lead to cheaper gas, but it's not the only thing that may be pushing down prices for some of us. A Massachusetts lawmaker is pushing to make gas cheaper if you pay with cash. A new state bill there would allow gas stations to offer cash discounts. If drivers pay with greenbacks, they could save about 7 cents on each gallon of gas. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Despite boom times for the big oil companies, gas stations are squeezing by on slim profit margins, and they're even thinner if a credit card is used. Brandon Wright is with the Petroleum Marketers Association, which represents independent gas stations.
When you pay at the pump, roughly 2-3% of that transaction gets remitted back to the credit card company. That really eats into their profits.
Many companies prohibit their franchise gas stations from charging less for cash purchases. The Massachusetts legislation would give retailers that option. I asked Dave Eagle, who owns two gas stations near Boston, would he offer cash discounts?
Oh, I think we might, especially if the people request it. You certainly don't want to lose business.
The Massachusetts bill has precedent. Connecticut has enacted a similar law. The real fight is against the clock. The legislature's formal session ends in a week. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
After modest gains on Wall Street yesterday, European stocks are down this morning between 0.5% to a full percentage point. Tokyo's Nikkei, on the other hand, rose more than 2%. California Governor Schwarzenegger is threatening to cut the pay of thousands of state workers back to the federal minimum wage. Lawmakers have failed to reach a compromise on the state's overdue budget. Using the federal minimum wage would be an especially deep cut for 200,000 state employees, since the federal pay floor is $1.45 less than California's minimum wage. And that brings us to the pay raise that many workers across the country will be getting today. The federal minimum wage is going up 70 cents, which adds up to an extra $1,400 a year for a lot of workers. As Marketplace's Renita Jablonski reports, it adds another layer to the minimum wage debate.
The new federal minimum wage is $6.55 an hour, still below the minimum wage in about two dozen states. Darren Lobotsky is an economics professor at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He says extra cash will be welcome given higher food and gas prices, but in this slow economy, the questions around minimum wage are louder than ever.
The big controversy over the minimum wage is, first, is it an effective anti-poverty tool? And second, does it adversely affect employment or profits?
Rick Berman at the Employment Policies Institute says certain groups could have more difficulty getting jobs as businesses cut back to afford the wage increase.
Teenagers, minority youth, as well as unskilled adults are usually the ones who have a more difficult time being employed or staying employed.
Next year, the federal minimum wage will go up to $7.25 an hour. I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement and by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com.
Check out some of the adjectives the Federal Reserve is using now to describe economic conditions in some parts of the country. Things are either grim or morose or just plain bleak, according to the Fed's latest roundup of regional economic conditions. The report concludes the country is facing increasing inflationary pressures amid slowing economic growth. Even so, our own economics editor Chris Farrell still isn't convinced we have a lot to worry about. He's here to make that case for us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So we have been hearing this, it seems, like forever now. Slow economic growth, maybe even a recession, and rising prices. Sounds like stagflation to me, but do you think that this is all overblown?
Oh, I think the fear of stagflation is way overblown. The slow economy? I'm not going to argue about that with you. And in fact, I'm in the camp that says we're in a recession. But when it comes to inflation, there's no big worry.
Okay, now wait a minute. We had Coke announcing price increases come Labor Day. Sarah Lee
says...
And
I know that upset you. That upset you a lot.
Sarah Lee says it's going to be raising prices on some meat items by 20%. Kraft, Kellogg's, ConAgra, Tyson's, they're all pushing through price increases. How can you say no inflation?
Well, all the examples that you've given have to do with food. But you take out food and energy, and you still come down to inflation's running about a 2.4% annual rate.
Life is a little difficult to live when you take out food and energy.
But it is still remarkable, Bob. Service sector inflation is slowing. It's a service sector economy. And what I say is happening is that budgets are being nicked by higher prices for energy and food, and so they're spending less. And business can't raise prices.
Okay. The more important question, it seems to me, though, is that we know historically that these things can snowball really fast. And
yeah,
if we've got these price increases being announced and the mentality is out there, what happens down the road?
There is a concern about inflation psychology. If people really start to believe that prices are going to go up, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's why the Fed keeps talking about it. But again, I still come back to when we had inflation in the 1970s, we had a wage price spiral. Where are the unions demanding a 5, 6, 10% wage increase? You don't hear them. It's a slowing economy. It's global competition. And it is shrinking household budgets are all conspiring to keep inflationary pressures down.
Okay, Chris. So I guess as long as we got nothing to spend, we got nothing to worry about.
Well, we may have a lot to worry about, but we don't have to worry about a price spiral.
Chris Farrell, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. You'll find replays of all our programs at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.